I have been so busy, she said, as she dropped exhausted into the chair. There was a moment of silence as we both looked out the windows of the coffee shop, staring at the bustling people dashing across the street. Then she sighed and asked, "Have I missed Advent?" Looking at the bags full of wrapping paper, baking ingredients, and mysterious parcels, I thought it was a good question. A number of people choose a kind of exile at this time of year. They are heard to say Christmas has little to offer them, and it can be for many reasons. They won't or can't support big business with the traditional frenzy of buying often unnecessary and unwanted gifts and accompanied by the resultant debt. There are those for whom sadness, depression, and feelings of alienation are just simply overwhelming at this time of year. And for some, it is that feeling of stark loneliness that they think nothing and no one can penetrate. They have given up on the unlikely story of an infant born in a stable 2,000 years ago. In their exile, they doubt all the flurry around Christmas has any relevance. And even we gathered here in this moment on this third Sunday of Advent find that the lines can become blurred between the journey of Advent and the fanfare of Christmas. We see the cheery pictures and hear the heartwarming stories brought out and dusted off each year. And the images float by us of snow-trimmed evergreens, presents under perfect Christmas trees, bountiful good food, parties, and good cheer. And these are the bookends for nativity pageants filled with happy children dressed as shepherds, angels, wise men, and manger-cradled infants. For many, however, these are also images of the dressed-up figures of expectations. Expectations that might drive even us into a desert exile. I think it's important to remember at this moment in the church year that originally the early church had one major festival, Easter. Jesus' victory over death itself had ushered in a whole new era, changing even the way we date our years. The first Christians thought Jesus would return soon to usher in the end of history. And as we look at the Gospels, we note that only two of the four Gospel writers have stories of Jesus' birth. As one author remarked, it took a couple of hundred years for Christians to add Christmas, which was celebrated on and as Epiphany, the manifestation to the Gentiles. Luke, who focuses on social justice, tells a story of Mary, who sees her selection as a sign of the overthrow of those who use their power to exploit the poor. And Luke's birth story also has the lowliest of the lowly, the shepherds, as the first to visit and worship the newborn Messiah. Matthew, writing for a Jewish audience, has Gentile magi as the first to acknowledge him. For Mark, the birth of the Messiah occurs when he is baptized by John. And for John, the gospel writer, it's a simple but majestic announcement that the Logos, the ultimate meaning of life, is revealed in God's descent to live as one of us. So it is no surprise on this third Sunday of Advent, as we begin to turn towards the Nativity, towards Christmas, that the readings bring us to examine our broken humanity and those things which cause us to live in a kind of exile. Isaiah, at his prophetic best, proclaims, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy One has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed." John, the thunder in the desert, proclaims, "I am a voice crying out in the wilderness. I bring a testimony to the light which is coming to us." There is an urgency about their proclamations. This urgency forces us to look at our own dislocation and that of those around us. Even the very creation is urged to listen. Isaiah and John's original audiences, as we know, were themselves afflicted and marginalized and floundering. Their words were for the brokenhearted, the marginalized, the captives, the prisoners, the mourners, the isolated, refugees, the discarded, and the lonely, exiles. And as we in our minds listen to the text again, we can actually, if we take a moment, see faces, hear names, see tortured landscapes. We can see the oppressed, the brokenhearted, the addicted, the barely housed, the hungry, the lost, captives, the grieving. In short, as someone said, your average December congregation. But Isaiah's words come alive with hope and anticipation. There is good news. There is binding up. There is release. There is gladness and praise. Promises that are happening even now. These are images of hope. To those caught in despair, there is God's hope. This hope is given substance in a time filled with expectations and confusion. This hope is not the word painted over the windows of shops and heard in plastic seasonal music. It is illuminated by the light which shatters the darkness of exile. Images of despair that can so easily drown us give way to hope and anticipation. We know that things are not as they seem when illuminated by the light of the Logos, the Christ. This third Sunday in Advent prepares us to receive the one who comes offering liberation, liberation for all. As we prepare the way of the Lord, we must be willing to see in ourselves our own need of deliverance, our need of hope, and our need to be set free. And we can expect God to do great things in our lives. And if we think about it, He does. This is the one who comes among us bringing hope. If we are willing to see through new eyes, that hope that comes to all in distress shows the other side of reality, God's reality, a reality that allows a pregnant teenager to see in herself the activity of God, hope that has led a group of wandering peasants to know they are the chosen people of God. Hope that fuels possibilities of peace over war, hope over trauma, equality over disparity, and love over fear. Our Advent hope rests in one who comes to live among us, to live amidst our failures and disappointments, to help us see God at work, even in the most difficult of times. God has declared that we will be clothed in garments of salvation, no matter our condition. God wraps us in the cloak of integrity, wholeness, and holiness, a divine gift of love given to each of us to be received with joy. So the Christ child is coming to us and coming amongst us this year amid the specter of nuclear war, amid the sadness of an embattled Jerusalem. He is coming in the midst of growing global economic disparity. He comes into a creation wounded and made vulnerable through our selfish desires. He comes amidst the opioid crisis and unstable, unaffordable housing. Into this world, he comes and speaks those words of hope. He comes amongst us and invites us to see the world as he sees it, a world in need of release, of binding up, in need of the oil of gladness, a world desperately in need of the mantle of praise. A world deeply in need of healing, hope, and salvation. Had my friend missed Advent? Obviously not. But in asking the question, she gave herself the opportunity to enter into a new vision and escape the exile of busyness and impossible expectations. She allowed herself to become attentive to the urgent wilderness voices proclaiming hope and new birth. Amen.